Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. Powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Cody Mack.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, John. Just trying to hear you with all these animals outside hooping and hollering, doing their impression of a pack of hyenas. A pack of hyenas. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Disney Plus came out yesterday, so I feel
it
like
did.
It's a good reference to go back to the Lion King, maybe a little bit with a pack of hyenas.
Yeah, I was looking over it last night at all the titles and stuff, different things they've got on there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to be a pretty good deal for children. You know,
yeah,
mainly for children. I don't know that it's. I don't think I'll subscribe to it as an adult.
I scrolled through it and I saw some things I want to watch, like some things I'll watch. Like,
yeah,
one of my favorite movies, 10 Things I Hate About You. It'd be nice to be able to go there and fire it up. You ever seen
that's
it?
A Disney movie?
No, but Disney owns like other
of course
entities.
Of course,
throw up a little, you know, Heath Ledger and see him whenever he was still alive. You know, remember like one of his good performances. Also. Batman/Robin. I don't really know where they left off in that last movie. Was JGL Batman or was he Robin? Like, how did that happen? At the end of Dark Knight Rises. When the cop, JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt or whatever, goes to the Batcave and you find out his name was Robin, spoiler alert, but he's going to the Batcave, like, and like finding the Batman suit. So, like, was he going to become Batman or was he going to be Robin?
I think he was going to be Nightwing, which is like a grown-up version of Robin, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the first Robin became Nightwing once he got like
because it's weird to make a grown ass man run around in Robin's costume.
Yeah, he wanted to do his own thing and be like a separate entity.
Okay,
so yeah, I think that's where.
So he was going to be Nightwing.
Yeah.
Does the Nightwing costume look like the Batman costume? Because I kind of remember it looking a lot like Batman's costume.
It's similar.
Okay.
But yeah,
I'm glad you could solve that for me. You remember end of the Dark Knight Rises, right? The cop, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, JGL.
You know, I don't know if I ever saw The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, well, spoiler alert. The cop's middle name is Robin, and so Christian
Joseph
Bell.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he was in The Dark Knight, right?
No, he's in The Dark Knight Rises.
He was not in the one with Heath Ledger?
No, he was in the second one, or the third one, I guess.
Is The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger included in the Disney Plus?
I don't think so. No, it's DC. It's not
Marvel. So why is The Dark Knight Rises?
It's not on there. I was saying that he is in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then I was asking if he was Robin or Batman, because I always kind of thought, you know, his name was Robin, but then it looked like he was getting a Batman costume, so I wasn't sure.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I've heard the name. I can't
picture you'll recognize
the
face. Him.
Oh, yeah, I mean, recognize him.
Yeah, he's in Inception and some...
Yeah.
He's in some movies.
He's in some movies, that's right.
I usually like his movies.
Angels in the Outfield.
He's a little kid, yeah.
Ten Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You, that's what I was just talking about.
Third Rock from the Sun.
I used to like that show, too.
Roseanne? Who's in Roseanne?
I don't really remember him in Roseanne.
Don John. That's where I remember him.
That's weird that I have his whole catalog, Don John.
It is weird.
I think it's Don Juan.
It's spelled John,
just like
your name.
Okay.
J-O-N.
I always assumed it was Don Juan, but either way.
Wouldn't it have a U?
I thought it did have a U.
It's just J-O-N, like your name.
Well, it's a movie by him being a playboy, kind of like a Don Juan, so maybe it was
I watched that movie.
Okay.
2013.
Yeah, you probably did. I did. Because I like JGL.
Well, he was like the main character in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, he was. Weird one for him to like be the lead guy on. He's not the lead guy very often. It was weird that he was the lead guy on that. And then there was a movie of Bruce Willis where he was the Looper. Is that what it was? The time travel movie? Spoiler alert, he was just Bruce Willis younger.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in 10 Things I Hate About You, so that was one of the things I saw on Disney Plus when I was scrolling it yesterday. I was like, oh, I'll eventually want to go watch this movie. I love this movie. One of my favorite movies. I don't know why I love it so much, but I do. Heavyweights, also on there. Love Heavyweights.
Heavyweights is good.
Yeah.
The Pirates of the Caribbean movies are on there.
I didn't really like that. As you know, I'm not a Johnny Depp guy, so I'm not going to go check those out.
I think I'll probably, at some point I might watch those. I don't know. But Brandon said his mom has a subscription or something, so I don't know. He had it on the TV when I got there.
Okay.
They were going through all the titles and stuff, so. But it looked like mainly like, you know, Disney movies, like you'd think animated Disney movies. So.
Nah, there's some live action stuff, too.
There's some other stuff.
Like I said, there's some other, it's mostly family-friendly stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's.
Because Walt Disney was such a good family guy.
Well, I think they're just marketing it to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about Disney Plus?
I don't remember.
Did you bring it up or did I bring it up?
I think you did.
Why did I bring it up?
I said something and then you...
Hyenas.
Yeah,
hyenas.
That's it.
Good job by you,
Cam. It was about the hyenas.
Oh, because I meant to segue and say, hey, we're going to bring... It's time for our monthly trip to Cam's Animal Kingdom, so... send in Cam some animals you want to hear about, and Cam will prepare and get you ready. I'm sure he watched a lot of National Geographic yesterday, so that's where I meant to go to segue. But I really can't think with the hyenas outside still just yepping and yelling out there. The more I hear Rick's voice, the more annoyed I become.
Tell me about it.
I love him. We share a strong mutual interest in wrestling.
You definitely share that, yes.
He's more intense than I am. Way more intense than I am.
Yes, he is.
But the more I hear his voice, the more annoyed I become.
Yeah, they're just very loud out there. It's like general, we're not even doing a show.
In general and during the show especially.
It's like they don't even think we're doing a show.
But then sometimes we're loud out there, so I'm like, is this what it sounds like?
I don't think we're...
I always feel like we're not that loud. Sometimes. Now, every now and then something will get going.
There have been
times. I'll
get
telling a story.
Yeah, there have been times, I guess.
And you know
but
me,
this seems
I
like an everyday thing.
You know me, I work the crowd. I'm antics.
Yeah,
you know, I got my antics.
Sure.
Whenever I tell a story, there's presentation to it.
You got to tell everybody. Yeah.
So maybe this is just payback, passive aggressively. I don't know.
I wish they'd shut the hell up though.
Now it's quiet.
Maybe they hear us.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
There we go again.
Never mind. There's Rick again. Well, here we go. All right, well, Jerry Pruitt addressing the media right now. We'll give you some news and notes from that. Tennessee, did you watch any basketball last night? You had talked about how you were taking Murray State for granted. It seemed like the first half, maybe Tennessee did too. And I was like, oh, man, this isn't going to be good. But a dominant second half performance. It was a really good second half performance.
Yeah, I was scared in the first half for sure. But
thought they had us in the first half, I ain't going to lie.
Not going to lie. They had us in the first half.
But we bounced back. We bounce back just like round ball. We'll talk Tennessee getting to 2-0 after the break. It's Talk Sports powered by Lloyd's Electric. It's Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. And their around-the-clock repair services are available anytime of day or night, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. It was a frustrating first half. It was one that you're like, man, this team doesn't. You start realizing what all this team lost, right? And like all the pieces they're trying to put back together. Four of their top six players, you know, pretty clear four of their top six players have been replaced. You know, we talked about the leading scorers being gone. And in the first half, it looked like, oh, yeah, not only were those guys your leading scorers, but they were kind of your anchors and backbones of your defense, too. In the first half, not only could you not stop the three-pointers as Murray State hit, I believe it was 54% of their threes in the first half. 57%, 54% from the field, 57% from three, which means they were hitting their threes but also getting easy looks at the rim. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, Admiral is a pretty good perimeter defender. Jordan Bone, pretty good perimeter defender. And Kyle Alexander could protect the paint. So could Grant Williams in his verticality. Offensively, the team was okay, not great by any means, or even good, but okay. But the defense was rough. That was not the case in the second half.
Those post-player worries that you had coming into the season were on full display in the first half because, and, you know, like you said, they were getting easy looks at the rim, and it looked like we just had no answer for how to stop that defensively. So it was good that we settled down in the second half and allowed them only 19 points. I mean, the second half, 47-19, that was much better to see than the first half.
And I still don't know if you are going to fix that post problem, right? I still don't know if that's all of a sudden going to be better. It was better in the second half, and Tennessee, a lot of it, man, seemed like effort, just closing out on threes. And Murray State hit some tough threes in the first half, and those shots didn't fall in the second half. But defensively, there's going to be some growing pains. What you're going to see this year and what you're going to see early in the season especially is like development. These first couple of games are going to be important to trying to figure out your rotation, try to figure out an identity, and hopefully learn as a team and have guys kind of refigure out some roles. Because like everyone's playing a different role this year. Everyone.
Yeah, Lamonte.
John Fulkerson, your starting guy who's having to score a little bit more and guard the best perimeter defender, or excuse me, the best post defender, whereas Kyle Alexander is doing that. Turner's your primary ball handler. Bowden's your primary scorer. Pons is actually going to have to score points this year for Tennessee to be good. And so far, Pons can do it. I don't know if I'm counting on that to be a real thing, but he shot four threes, hit three of them. Hit a couple mid-range shots, he had a nice up and under move. They weren't all dunks or layups, so I don't know if that's going to continue, but I was impressed by Pons' athleticism, and he blocked four shots, and there were some times you looked out and you're like, oh man, this team on the court looks like it's going to be good eventually when these guys start developing.
Pons looks good.
Yeah, Pons and Jalen Johnson out there with their bun in their hair, they look like a nice perimeter threat to like not only score but shut you down on defense. Those guys look the part, and then you throw Josiah Jordan James out there and Jordan Bowden, and you're like, man, these guys have four NBA bodies. Now, I'm not saying they're four NBA players. I don't think they are, but there's four NBA bodies out there that should be able to guard and switch, and you're not going to be able to screen them and get them, you know, get by and create mismatches. Because even Lamonte Turner, you throw him out there, he is someone who is a good defender. Now, sure, you don't want Lamonte Turner guarding your other players, post players. But out on the perimeter, you can create a really, really good defense with those five guys.
I did not even recognize Pons for the first couple minutes of the game because he's changed his hair up. He had it, you know, he had it down last year. Now he's got it up in the, like you said, up in the bun, and he just looks bigger to me. Looks like he's grown. He's gotten thicker, and I think that he could be a huge part of whether or not this team will be successful this year is the continued development of Yves Pons.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't know if I like that this team's success might depend on him being a scorer. I hope that isn't the case. I hope eventually Lamonte Turner starts hitting some shots, and I hope Josiah Jordan James eventually starts hitting some shots. Those guys combined to have three field goals, right?
Yeah.
And that's not going to be conducive for success if Tennessee is going to be good this year. You could do that against Murray State. And look, Lamonte Turner was 2-for-12 from the field. Offensively, at least shooting the ball, was not good at all. However, he played all but like 40 seconds of this game. He played over 39 minutes, and he handled the ball. And Cody, I don't know if you saw or if you noticed, he had 14 assists and zero turnovers.
I did notice that.
And some of their best plays, and Dane Bradshaw did a good job. But it's still a little weird to have Dane Bradshaw calling Tennessee games because I just know the other teams probably have to hate that. Like, you have a former Vol calling this game. He's going to be biased towards Tennessee. But he did a pretty good job last night highlighting, like, Tennessee's most effective play, especially in the second half, was we're going to run Lamonte Turner off of a screen. We're going to get him curling in the post because Tennessee doesn't have a post player. And then you're going to let Lamonte Turner kick or get fouled or kick it out to someone else to hit a shot. And that's what Tennessee was able to do. And Jordan Bowden was able to hit some shots in the second half. Jordan Bowden's not going to go 6 of 8 from three every night. That's not going to happen.
No, he's not going to be putting up 26 points every night.
He could put up 20, though. He can be a 20 points per game scorer, and he can be your best offensive player, or at least your best scorer. I'm just not going to count on him catching absolute fire like he did in the second half last night to bring Tennessee to victory.
Well, you talked about redefining roles, and Bowden and Turner last year, I would say, were your number 5 and 6 players. This year, they're number 1 and 2. I mean, these two guys got to be your leaders on the team. So it's going to come down to what they do. It's going to come down to Pond's development. And hopefully, Josiah Jordan-James, by the end of the year, turns into he looks like a 5-star player.
Yeah, I still think if Tennessee is going to be a legitimate team, and I don't necessarily mean tournament team, but like a legitimate threat, at least in the SEC, to finish in the top four, and for Tennessee to look at the Sweet 16, I do think Josiah Jordan-James is going to have to be at least your second best player. I do think you're going to have to see him catch up.
By the time we get to March, you think he's your second best player?
If you're going to be good. I'm not saying he will be. He still looks, like I said, an NBA body out there. You see the potential, and you just don't see the confidence yet. He hit his only three he shot, which that's an okay sign. I'm glad he hit one. I would have liked to see him take maybe a couple more. And he still only scored 5 points and only shot the ball 4 times. He needs a confidence boost. He needs to get going. And look, it's the second game. I'm okay with it. But I do think if Tennessee is going to be a legitimate team by February or March, you're going to have to see him kind of take over. And you saw that a little bit with Tobias Harris, right? Kind of the last All-American you got.
It took him a while to become more into what he really was.
At least that's the way I remember it, is like Tobias really took off in February and March. And, you know, by the time you got ran out of the gym by Michigan in the tournament, Tobias was by far your best player.
Yeah, that was what happened with him.
But Tobias didn't necessarily hit the ground running because he was on a team full of veterans that kind of, you know, had their roles.
But then you have other guys that just never really came along, you know.
Sure, sure.
Guys like Hubs. Scotty Hobson.
I'm hoping he's more of a Tobias than those guys. And Scotty Hobson came along, you know, year two, year three. And
he did.
But as freshman, no, maybe, you know.
The
thing about Duke, the thing about Kentucky, those 5-stars are usually coming in with other freshmen, right?
And they're usually relied upon immediately, like, which, not that Josiah Jordan-James is not, but Barnes has more of a system in place.
That's what I was going to say, is like these big-time freshmen – seems like they come in with other big-time freshmen. And a big part of the identity of the team is, hey, we got these big-time freshmen, and we're going to have to carve out a space for you, like they said. But this team, you have still, you know, four of your 5 starters were there last year. You're the only new starter. Now, those guys weren't all starting last year, right? I mean, those guys weren't all starting. Pons and Turner and even Bowden sometimes came off the bench. But 4 of those 5 guys were already on the team and know the system and want to get a bigger role. Triple J is going to have to kind of learn and slowly get implemented, I believe. But if Tennessee is going to be good this year, it has to be I think it's going to have to be him, at least being the number two. And maybe that's just your second best scorer. And maybe Lamonte can just kind of gravitate towards, I'm going to be your big shot maker, and I'm going to distribute. I'm going to show you I can play point guard. And he did last night. He took 12 shots. He only hit 2 of them, whatever. He had 14 assists and no turnovers. He controlled the pace of the game, and he got Bowden open looks, and he was really effective. And I do think it could be exciting, Cody, to see Lamonte kind of be that point guard, playing defense, distributing, and eventually down the road, Bowden and Josiah Jordan-James are your guys who are hitting shots and slashing and dunking and doing all those things.
Well, Saturday is a big test, and if you win that game, you're probably going to be ranked next week.
Yep.
That's the kind of game that, you know, it'll be the first time I think the whole fan base is tuned in, too. No football Saturday.
It is only on ESPN Plus, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
When it comes to getting your whole fan base tuned in. Like, people will be paying attention. And Washington right now is ranked number 20 in the country, so if you beat them, I do think you'll take their spot inside the top 25.
Yeah, it's crazy that game's ESPN Plus. I mean, could they not put it ESPN News or something? I mean,
ESPN News is going to have college football. I mean, like, it's.
But ESPN News won't. I guess they got to keep the news running there.
They got to.
Does anybody watch ESPN News?
I do sometimes, but not for ESPN News. I watch it for whenever they put other shows on there. Like if, you know, I like watching Highly Questionable or The Jump. I like watching my hour of NBA talk. If they get bumped to the ESPN News, I'll tune over to watch it there. Like they usually show replays and stuff.
Whatever happened to ESPN Classic? Is that still around?
I think it's a wrap. I think they just decided to do the ESPN 30 for 30. Just put those, tell the stories of the games and not just the games, I think.
I used to like the Classic Channel when I was a kid. Like
I always knew I was supposed to, but I was like, I don't really like
it. You weren't? You didn't? I used to like watching the old NASCAR races they would put on there. They used to put like, I always remember watching the races with Dale Earnhardt in the 90s. I was a fan of ESPN Classic.
I know for a while ESPN Classic became a paid for service. You had to pay extra for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still around like that. Or you
Does
could
it
pay.
Still exist at all?
I don't know. I would imagine not, but I'd imagine they just moved all that to like ESPN Plus.
Probably.
Although I don't know if you can search in the archives of that. I don't know. I'm looking forward to Tennessee playing Washington, though. It's going to be another data point. It's a chance to play a good team. In the past, Rick Barnes has played well in these situations, even year one and year two whenever Tennessee wasn't a tournament team. You remember them beating Oregon and playing close with a couple other schools? You look confused.
Did they beat Oregon?
Did they not beat Oregon? I thought they beat Oregon that year.
I don't think they beat Oregon. I remember they had played like every team in the Final Four.
Maybe they lost to Oregon in overtime. Was that it?
Yeah. Yeah, 69-65.
Okay.
But that was – you're right, though. That was a November game. That was
– Yeah, you lost – okay, so you played Wisconsin fairly close, and then you – yeah, that Dietrich Marcella led the way for you to only lose to number 13 Oregon by 4 points. So I guess you didn't
beat them. That was a Final Four team.
And then you played North Carolina close at North Carolina. You played Gonzaga pretty close. Okay, so I guess you didn't win those games.
No, but they did play close in those games. They played very tough, and they had maybe it was year two when they had the big lead on Villanova, or like maybe a 10-point lead, and then they eventually lost. They were still trying to figure it out, but
I think that was year three, wasn't it?
Might have been.
That was the year Tennessee won the SEC. Yeah, they beat Purdue in year three.
Point is, I mean, Barnes teams though usually show up to play, like in these
non-conference
games.
Yeah. they don't always win. Now, this team, even as it's constructed, is more talented than that year one team was, or year two team. But Tennessee usually shows up for these non-conference games.
And they don't lose against non-conference teams on their home floor, unlike some programs.
Oof. Tennessee, 28-game home winning streak. Kentucky basketball, one game losing streak after welcoming Evansville. Evansville into Rupp Arena last night.
It has been a difficult few days, as many pointed out on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a especially if you combine, you know, the voice of the Kentucky fan base, Matt Jones, and him getting taken off the radio as he's getting ready to run for Senate or whatever.
Yeah.
Flirting with it.
Everything's going bad. They need some momentum. They need Ashley Judd to put out an album or something, or
get an acting
role. She didn't sing either.
I don't think Ashley Judd's a singer. I think you're just saying that because there was a group called the Judds.
She was a singer. I know she was an actress. She was in Heat, which is, as you know, one of my all-time favorites, and she was pretty good in it. She sang too, didn't she?
Did she? I don't think she did.
Ashley and Winona, weren't they? Were they not related?
No, they are. They are. Was she a part of the?
Well, they always called it the Judds.
Yeah, but she grew up in a family of performing artists. She is the daughter of Naomi Judd and the sister of Winona.
Which you do think of those more as the singers,
I think those are the singers.
I bet she did some singing in her day.
She might have been like on an album as a kid or something.
Did she not have a song?
All it says is she is an actress. It doesn't say anything about her singing.
Okay. Well, either way, they need her to land a role or something. They need some kind of momentum, something positive going their way.
Maybe she needs to go and kiss Dick Vitale again. This Wikipedia's asking for 275 again.
She's also a political activist, apparently. 275?
Yeah.
That's more than last year, wasn't it?
No, I feel like I gave them $3 last year. I'm going to give them 275 again.
Oh, they deserve it.
Now they're, wow. Wow. I click, going to donate. First of all, they give me all these options. Do you want to do just once or give monthly? Of course, I'm just doing just once. I'm not giving you $3 a month. But then it's like, select an amount, 275, the lowest possible, 5, 10, 20, 30. Why wasn't a dollar an option?
Yeah.
You too good for my dollar? But then I click, give 275, and then they want me to add the box and check. I'll generously add 35 cents to cover the transaction fee so that you can keep 100% of my donation. So you didn't really want 275. You wanted $3.10.
$3.10.
You wanted about $3.10.
That's 10 cents more than you gave last time.
I'm surprised you didn't just go ahead and ask for about $3.50 like the damn succubus you are.
Well, they deserve it. For all the information they provide, I mean.
It's about $3.50.
Somebody deserves that. I mean, because otherwise you...
Why not make it $1.75 a month, they just said. That's what they just asked.
So they're going to cut it down for you, $1.25, but now you get monthly.
I get to save $1.35, thank you.
$1.35.
They're going to let me keep my extra $1.35 this month, but then they're going to try to trap me into a contract.
You should do that.
I'm going to sign a year contract with Wikipedia to try to... No, all it says is if I donate $2.75... It's a little awkward. We'll get straight to the point. This Wednesday, we humbly ask you to defend Wikipedia's independence. We depend on donations averaging about $16.36, but 99% of our readers don't give. If everyone reading this gave $2.75, we could keep Wikipedia thriving for years to come. The price of your Wednesday coffee is all we need. I don't drink coffee on Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays or Sundays.
So you're the perfect guy to donate. You don't even have to use the money for coffee.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm giving my $2.75. I'm not picking up the slack for somebody else. I'm doing my fair share.
Of course you are.
No thanks. I'm going to make a one-time donation of $3.10.
Your yearly contribution has been made.
And if they don't like it, they can make a Wikipedia page about me and then say bad things about it.
It's usually about this time of the year you donate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's whenever they ask. We use Wikipedia a lot. I mean, it's a... There you go.
From now on,
Wikimedia.
You should mark it down when you use it, and it should be a yearly donation, once a year, $3, that you should donate to them. You can write it off on your taxes.
I'm paying for information. I appreciate them. I'm a little annoyed at the way they're trying to bully me into giving more, though.
They probably need the money.
Well... Okay, that's fine. I'm not a wealthy man. I'm not here to, single-handedly fund Wikipedia. I gave my $2.75. Now move along.
It's a great service they provide.
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Stick with us. We'll be back on the other side. Talk some hoops. Tennessee, with the big second half, is able to race away from Murray State. And Kentucky lost. Memphis lost. Memphis lost to Oregon. Pretty good night for Tennessee hoops fans. Got a little bit of breaking news just coming across the board about potential number one overall pick. Potential, I don't know if college football has a Defensive Player of the Year award, but Chase Young, who would probably win it, apparently is going to have to sit out one more game, and then he can play, which conveniently is just Ohio State versus Rutgers, and then he'll be back for the Penn State and Michigan game.
Yeah, they're going to need him for those games.
And I think it's a two-game suspension is a fair punishment. And if I'm Chase Young, like, yeah, I guess I had my historic season maybe stopped a little bit, and I could have I think he needs one more sack to get the all-time sack lead in Ohio State.
One more sack?
I think.
Sure, he'll get it.
Right, but I mean, I think he could have really like put, five or six or seven or eight on the board and kind of put some distance between him. He's a half sack short of Vernon Golston's single season sack record at Ohio State.
He should probably still win the Lombardi and Bednarik awards. I don't know what the one of the isn't one of those the defensive player of the year?
I don't.
Or there's like the Butkus Award.
You're the college football guy here. Not
I just remember playing NCAA and did, like dynasty mode back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And you would have players who would win awards like that. The Outland, that's for the linemen. I know it's Bednarik and Lombardi and Butkus. I don't know. The Thorpe Award, that's for the DBs.
Yeah, the Bednarik is the like defensive player.
Okay.
Yeah.
He'll probably win that.
Yeah, he's still probably going to win that. And like I said, he's got to miss one more game. Jeremy Pruitt talked about some Tennessee players. There's been some talks. They're really trying to – you know, you're surprised to see at the end of the game Elijah Simmons, a.k.a. the JYD, in the game on that fourth down stop. He was planning to be redshirted. He's still planning to be redshirted. He's played in two games, which means he can't play in more than two games moving forward. I would assume you throw him out there against Missouri. Then if you win that game, maybe you save him for Vanderbilt and then let him play in the bowl game. I don't know what the best route would be there. But Jeremy Pruitt says, yeah, they're still trying to let Elijah Simmons redshirt as Tennessee needs to develop some depth on that defensive line. We'll get to some more of Pruitt's press conference comments and see if there's any interesting ones there next hour. But Cody, last night, speaking of Ohio State, speaking of Chase Young, the college football playoff rankings, week 12 came out.
Yes, they did. Was a little surprised to see Georgia was the team there.
Number one, LSU, no surprise there. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Clemson, no surprises. Number four, Georgia. Number five, Alabama. Number six, Oregon.
Were you disappointed to see Alabama above Oregon?
No. Why would I be?
Well, because I know you're not expecting Alabama to make the playoff.
Exactly. I'm not. I'm still not. Alabama has one quality win left, and that's it.
But they're already ahead of Oregon.
But does it matter? They've shown that the people can jump. Why would I be worried about? I'm happy that Alabama's not in the top four right now.
Well, who is Oregon going to beat? Utah?
Utah.
You think that'll jump them after Bama beats Auburn, if they beat Auburn?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, then. I just don't think it's going to happen. It's just my opinion.
Nope, I feel good. There was a lot of people that kept saying that Alabama was still going to be in the top four. They were not. I like Oregon's positioning, and I like that they acknowledge Alabama's number five. There's not really much they can do remaining the rest of the year that would put Alabama back in the top four.
But when
resume-wise.
But if Georgia loses to LSU,
mm-hmm.
you still don't think Alabama's in it if Georgia loses to LSU in the SEC championship. Because Georgia will drop behind Alabama once that happens.
That is correct.
Do you not think – I know Alabama doesn't have any good wins, but do you not look at their loss, too, as being more impressive than anybody else's loss? Because to
absolutely
me,
not. Why is their loss impressive?
Well, they lost to the number one team in the country.
That's fine. They lost at home in a game that they were dominated in.
They came back and made that a game.
I don't care about the final score. Anyone who watched it saw that LSU was clearly better and that LSU could have kept scoring and won by 12 if the clock would have ended a minute and a half before, or if LSU wasn't playing a kind of soft defense when they're up by 12 with a minute 30 left.
Well,
they were dominated at home.
Okay, but the team ahead of them lost to South Carolina at home.
That's fine. The team ahead of them also has a couple of top 15 wins. Like Georgia beat Florida.
Yeah, but it's South Carolina
Notre Dame
game is
top
awful,
15.
South Carolina game is an awful loss to me.
That's fine. To me, wins matter too.
Well,
quality wins
it's
matter.
It's not going to matter if Georgia loses to LSU. Alabama's going to jump them. And I think we're set up to get two SEC teams in. If Georgia loses to LSU, or if Georgia beats LSU, I think LSU gets in.
And I think LSU should get in. I think in that. To me, though, that's the only scenario we're getting two SEC teams in unless everyone else kind of loses.
So you think Oregon is going to be the fourth team?
I don't know if I think Oregon's going to be.
Utah? I mean, do you think it's the Pac-12 champion over Alabama?
I think they would have a better resume.
I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think it has to be a combination of wins and losses and who I think the best team is, and that's fine. Like, the people who say Alabama's one of the four best teams in the country – blah, blah, blah. Like, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that that should matter. However, I don't necessarily acknowledge that I think Alabama is necessarily one of the four best teams, like, with hands down. Last two times I've seen Alabama play good teams, they've lost. I understand they have a decade of evidence that they can win these games. The last two times I've seen them play against top-level teams, they've lost. And the other times against Georgia, I feel like Georgia was a better team, and Georgia shot themselves in the foot both games.
I mean, Alabama won the games.
I understand they did. I understand that, and I don't take that away from them. The last two times I've seen Alabama play good teams, they were exposed, and they weren't as fast, and they weren't as good.
Well, Alabama has to play in a lot of big games. Nobody plays in more big games than Alabama.
Alabama's playing one big game this year, and they lost it.
Well, I'm saying, but last year they played in a big game against Clemson. They're going to lose some big games because they played more big games than anybody.
I mean.
Championship games. SEC championships, national championships, playoff games. They play more of those than anybody. I get you're saying the last two big games you've seen them in, they've lost, but they've got, as you said, years of evidence before that that would show.
I don't care about that they 2015. Show up. Well, when they got smacked by Ohio State.
I mean, the Oregon team.
I don't care
team,
about 2016.
The Oregon team lost to Auburn. And I'm telling you, if Alabama beats
Oregon
Auburn.
Oregon losing to Auburn is a better loss than Alabama losing to LSU.
That's fine. But if Alabama beats Auburn in the Iron Bowl at the end of the year, and let's say, especially if they beat them handily, the thing that's going to be fresh on everybody's mind is that, oh, yeah, that team Oregon lost to, Alabama defeated. That's going to be the fresh thing on everybody's mind. They're going to put Alabama in over Oregon.
Well, then they'll have to wait a week while Oregon gets a chance to beat Utah.
That's fine.
And then they'll be out of sight
and out
of mind.
But beating Utah is not – I disagree
beating
with
Utah
you.
Is just they're the not, same as beating not, Auburn as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not saying it's not. They're not going to put Oregon in over Alabama. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not even arguing that they deserve it.
And that's fine. I mean, you can take this stance, and then when we get there, we'll figure it out, and who knows who will be right. I just know that the narrative that Alabama has the best loss is flat out wrong. Oregon's loss to Auburn is a better loss to me than LSU going in to Alabama's backyard and dominating them for 52 of the 60 minutes. I mean, would you agree with that LSU dominated 52 minutes of that game?
I mean, Alabama still had to put up 41 points in the game.
But do you agree that LSU dominated 52 minutes of that game?
Watching the game, I would say that yes, LSU was clearly the better team.
Right. For 52 minutes of the 60, they were having their way with them, pretty much.
I think they were clearly the better team.
Okay. And I think in the Oregon-Auburn game, Oregon was the better team for 52 minutes. Now, they ended up being on the wrong side of that and losing because they couldn't pick up a first down. They had to. But to me, losing at a neutral site to Auburn is a better loss than losing at home to LSU.
I don't know. LSU's a better team than Auburn to me, which I know they just played and it was a close game and all that, but LSU pretty much handled Auburn too.
3-point game. If you're going to give Alabama the credit for a close loss, you got to give Auburn the credit for a close loss.
Okay, well, then let's go with both of them then. Got to be consistent for sure. I don't think an LSU loss is worse than an Auburn loss. I think LSU is a better team than
home versus neutral site. Does it matter to you?
Matters somewhat, yes.
Somewhat or a lot? Because I feel like it should matter a lot.
It also matters, you know, what time of the year it was and things like that. If Oregon played Auburn today, what would happen?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think history has shown us that losing at the beginning of the year is better than losing at the end of the year. No, has it not?
Do you honestly, do you think that Oregon is better than Alabama?
Like I said, I don't think that's the only. I don't think that's the only part of the equation.
I don't either.
If Alabama and Oregon played, I would probably pick Alabama. If it was a straight up spread, I would probably bet on Alabama. Like I said, though, to me, that's not the only part of the equation. If that's the case, get rid of the regular season and let's just look the first couple weeks who the best teams are, and let's just say that and let's go. If you don't actually have to prove it on the field, and you actually like don't have to prove it resume-wise, if none of that matters and we're just going best four, let's look at the recruiting rankings, let's take the coaches into account, let's pick the top four.
Well, I mean, I think you got to also take the brand names into account.
Well, I mean, if that's the case,
it's going to matter.
If that's the case, then we probably could have gotten. I mean, we'd have penciled in Clemson and Ohio State before the year. If you're saying throw Alabama and LSU in there, then you would have thrown Alabama and, I don't know, maybe Georgia in over LSU because we hadn't seen Joe Burrow. But, I mean, this whole season was for naught then. It's just the way I look at it. Like I said, the best team, sure. Like, if you want to tell me Alabama is one of the four best teams in the country, I would say they are, but I would say they're number four. And if you're number four with a resume that says like number seven or number eight, I don't think that should equate you getting in. If I felt by far and away that Alabama was the best team in the country and the resume didn't hold up, kind of like it did, was it last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought Alabama was the best team 2 years ago. They end up losing to Auburn. They don't get in the SEC West Championship. Or they don't win the SEC West. They don't get in the SEC Championship. They go to the playoff. They win. I felt like they were the best team in the country that year. I feel like they should have gotten in. They got in. They won. This year, I don't feel like they're the best team in the country. I don't feel like that loss to LSU was a fluke. I thought the one to Auburn was a little fluky. Or at least to give them benefit of the doubt because they went and lost to Auburn at Auburn, right? That game was in at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, I don't feel like Alabama's the best team in the country. I don't feel like they're the second best team in the country.
I mean,
I would pick Clemson to beat them heads up. Are they number four? Yeah, probably.
I mean, everybody talks about Alabama's schedule, but these other schedules are not. There's nothing really special about them either. Oregon's schedule, they've got a win over Washington, who was ranked 25th at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Oregon's schedule is any more difficult than Alabama's.
No, but I think the tiebreaker there is you win your conference, you win your championship, and we're projecting they're going to be the top 10 Utah team. Right? I mean, isn't that a part of the equation that they're you know, because they're not going to get in with two losses, obviously. They're getting in if they win out.
The thing is, the Pac-12 champion doesn't get in, typically.
Not always. When's
they're,
the last time they got in?
The Rose Bowl team.
Washington
got in.
Is that it? Is that the only Oregon got in against Florida State?
2014, the first one.
Yep, they got in and
but
then lost to Ohio State.
That's when they still had a ton of respect. They're kind of just regaining that.
Sure.
We'll see. I don't think there's any chance that the Pac-12 teams get in.
What do you mean no chance? You're not even taking a one loss Pac-12 team if Auburn beats Alabama and then LSU beats Georgia?
Well, yeah, if Auburn beats Alabama, Alabama's out.
I mean, I'm just saying, you said there's no chance the Pac-12 team gets in, so you don't think even if that happens?
I'm saying if Alabama has one loss, okay. I don't think they'll get in.
Okay.
I really don't. But.
And I think Oklahoma maybe could still have a shot. I think Baylor, if Baylor won out, could still have a shot. I think Minnesota, if they beat Ohio State, would still have a shot. I mean, Minnesota had the biggest jump into the top 10 of any team in college football playoff rankings. And look, I mean, I don't think Minnesota's going to win out. They are, I believe, 2-point underdogs this weekend on the road at Iowa. So, like, they have a tough schedule coming up. They still have to play Wisconsin after that, then Ohio State. So, like, if Minnesota goes undefeated, they're going to have earned it.
Yeah.
If they win at Iowa and then beat Wisconsin, then beat Ohio State, you can't keep them out at that point. I don't think it's happening, though, obviously.
I'm just thinking about the years of the past that Alabama has had, and I think they do matter in determining what happens this year. I'm not saying they should matter, but they're going to matter. And they have always gotten the benefit of the doubt. You go back to 2011, Oklahoma State. Many would argue Oklahoma State should have gotten in, but they didn't. They put Alabama in with one loss. Even when they've had a one-loss team every year, and they've lost at least one game every year since, 2010, they always get an opportunity to win a championship. And I just don't see that changing this year. Not saying it's right, but I don't see it changing.
No, but I think that's kind of why I go back to the conversation. I think in the years past, you could make the argument that Alabama was the best team in the country regardless. And I don't feel that way this year.
I don't feel that way either. But we'll see if the precedent changes, because the precedent has certainly been set. I mean, 2012, too, when they lost to A&M. They got in that year. I mean, every year they've had a loss. The years they lost to Ole Miss, they still got in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at some point the playoff came and made it easier for one-loss teams. But, yeah, so.
Who are the teams that got in over 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2017, whenever they didn't win their division.
2017?
Yeah.
That was when they lost to Auburn, right?
Yeah. Who are the other teams they got in over that year?
I don't remember. Penn State, maybe?
Let me see. Week 17. They got in over two-loss Ohio State, one-loss Wisconsin, 3-loss Auburn, 2-loss USC, 2-loss Penn State. Okay, so
don't forget undefeated UCF.
And undefeated UCF, correct. Oh, they were down at 12. So, I mean, I guess you couldn't put Wisconsin in because Wisconsin had just gotten boat raced by Ohio State that year, right? Or I guess they lost a close one in 2017.
Yeah.
Closer. It
was one of those years was close. The other one was like 59-0.
That was 2015 when Ohio State got in. Yeah.
That was when Zeke was there.
Yeah.
When they beat Alabama.
Yeah. So, I mean, Alabama got in. Sure, the precedent was set, but they got in over a 2-loss Ohio State team. So there they had the advantage of having one less loss. And you're not putting Wisconsin in after they got beat and had a loss. Because they didn't have a conference championship either.
Well, the precedent, to me, though, was set as far back as 2011, 2012.
Well, that was BCS.
But it was still brand over maybe a team that deserved it more.
I don't know if it was or not. The computers don't see brands. I don't think they had a formula for money generated. The BCS just was supposed to. I'm telling you what the BCS was supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't want to be a conspiracy guy, but we could talk computers all day, but they wanted Alabama in that
playoff. I mean, whether or not they wanted Alabama, championship. But I'm just, like, again, that was a year where Alabama was thought of as the best team. The computers still thought they were the best team.
They showed it that year.
And so, like, I mean, the precedent that you keep referencing of 2017, again, they got in over a 2-loss Ohio State team, who has a big brand too, but just had an extra loss, and that was the year it was. I'm sure Ohio State had a bad loss that year because they just kept having bad conference losses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't really get in over anybody that was worthy when they got in as the number four team with no conference or division championship.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit different this year if Oklahoma has one loss and wins a conference championship and they beat Baylor, or if Oregon has one loss and they beat Utah and their only loss is a neutral site to a top 15-ish team at the beginning of the year. I just think those are completely different scenarios.
Maybe so, but we're talking about Nick Saban's team here.
I honestly, like, if you ask me right now if I think Alabama beats Auburn, I would say it's going to be pretty damn close. Like, I would say sure, but I'm not confident that they'll roll in to Auburn and be able to score against that defense. If Tua's not healthy, which I don't know if he's going to be healthy, I feel like his ankles are going to be a problem even at the next level. If I was an NFL team, I would be souring on Tua a little bit.
If they blow out Auburn, would you change your stance?
If they came out and beat them 59-0 like Ohio State
it doesn't have to be.
Well, I'm just saying like Ohio State beat Wisconsin when they made a statement, sure. If they come out and beat them by 20 and it's just like, or they pull away late, probably not.
I'm just wondering if Oregon beats Utah and Bama beats Auburn, but if Bama beats Auburn handily, then that's what's fresh on people's minds, that Alabama blew out the team that beat Oregon. Because to me, a win over Utah, and Utah's a very good team, but it doesn't do a lot to me.
Sure.
But the brands matter.
And I don't
think the brand is huge.
And I'm not sure it's just going to be Oregon versus Alabama. Like I said,
no, it could be Oklahoma.
If Oklahoma beats Baylor this weekend,
which they will,
that game's at Baylor, right? That game's in Waco.
Yeah, I'm not taking Baylor seriously. I mean,
I understand, but the playoff rankings has
right, and they've earned it. I mean,
or at least they've taken them somewhat seriously.
Yeah, I mean, they're 9-0. You know,
they have to be really happy that they came back to beat TCU. Like Oklahoma really needed Baylor to have beaten TCU. At least that keeps them hovering around the top 15. So maybe some other teams get in the mix there. I don't know. It'd be interesting if Penn State was able to beat Ohio State. What do you do if that happens?
That changes.
If Penn State beats Ohio State, and then Ohio State still, I guess Ohio State would then lose the division.
That changes things up.
Because, I mean, you could say that losing to Penn State's better loss, or just as good, I guess. That game would be at Ohio State, so it'd probably be a worse loss than losing to LSU. But
what if Harbaugh finally beats Ohio State?
Well, that just wouldn't help this equation because Michigan's not getting in the playoff.
No, I know.
So I said that if Penn State beats
Ohio
State,
a loss.
Right, I'm saying if Penn State beats Ohio State, wins the division, then avenges their loss to Minnesota, you got to put them in, and then it's one loss Alabama versus one loss Ohio State, and I feel like Ohio State's a better team.
Yeah, Ohio State's a better team,
and they got a big brand name.
Yeah, they
wise man told me last week that Ohio State has the highest TV ratings.
I would take Ohio State in that scenario.
Right.
I'd take them over Bama.
I just think when you add all this together, I don't think Alabama's getting in. Now, there's still a chance for everyone else to lose, and obviously
things,
that would change the equation.
Crazy things tend to happen these last 3 weeks.
They do, and college football is – look, this is why I always vehemently defend the four-game playoff. If this was an 8-game playoff, this would have no drama. We'd be talking about, okay, well, we got our top five locked in. Oregon gets in if they win in. One of Oregon or Utah is going to be a top eight team. Penn State's probably going to be a top eight team, or Oklahoma, or maybe even Florida. But, like, there's no actual conversation of substance there. I love having the discussion of who's going to be number four. That's why I love the 4-team playoff. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.